Hey guys, this is Danny McDermott from The Danny McDermott Show. If you want to see our show live, it's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Trust me, you want to see it then. You'll see all the screw-ups. It's great. Our show is an adult show, I must admit, but that's only because we're childish. Most of the guests that we have on the show are my friends, so you can just watch us hang out as buddies. It's fun. Just chill, relax, enjoy.
Special guests John Reynolds. Please welcome Danny McDermott and Kevin Fitzgerald.
Guys, welcome to the show. I do not have my green screen tonight. I am in New York City. I am enjoying time with my son. Right behind me is the Freedom Tower. When I lived in New York City, I quit working in the South Tower of the Twin Towers a month before they fell, and they erected this, the Freedom Tower, and it just so happens my hotel room on the 40th floor, because this show is so successful, it's behind me. I'm kidding. I'm not getting paid anything for this show, as Kevin knows. He's working for free, and he gets fired regularly. But anyway, welcome to the show. So normally around this time of year, you begin to evaluate your life, you know, make resolutions for the new year. After a year like 2020, though, you know, we've all kind of diminished our expectations and really lowered the bar for ourselves. You know what I mean? We've whittled down to some of our end of the year resolutions to the bare minimum. One of my resolutions was to not make resolutions, but I don't know if I can follow through. So let's go through our resolutions. Now this is one that a lot of people have. Everybody wants to lose weight and exercise more, but you know what? Lose weight at this point, I'm just happy to get off the couch. For exercise, I found a way to really boost my step count. I now buy smaller beers, so I have to go to the refrigerator more. You know, I used to care about looking good and fitting it in my clothes. Now I just want to lose weight in my face for Zoom meetings. That's all I care about. You know, no one sees the rest of my body anyways, you know. You know, you got dates online and stuff, and all I got to do is show your face. So, trust me, Kevin, by February, my face will be so swole. Seriously. okay. So another resolution, eat healthier. I used to have to eat kale. You know, that was a big thing, right? You know, you were eating kale. That was kale chips, kale pizza crust. That's all I did for an entire year. I chewed on something that tasted like chewing on my dad's shoe after he just got done mowing the front lawn. You know what I mean? So now, you know, who cares? I consider eating an entire, you know, medium pizza by myself. Medium, screw it. Large pizza by myself. You know, I hope to work my way back to a small pizza. That's my resolution. I've been eating full-size pizzas now all by myself, you know. I mean, personally, I'm in the opinion the size of a snack is directly proportional to the size of the bag. I don't know what that means, Kevin. Did you write that? I'm
no.
Excited. Anyway. So, I got a Vitamix for Christmas. It's one of those high-powered juicers that turns liquid into soup. So, Kevin, when this pandemic is done, you can come on over. I'm making my special orange juice and leftover Chinese food Christmas cookie smoothie.
Nice.
It's going to be awesome, dude. It's a surefire way to keep the holiday cheer going throughout the year and your toilet flushing. Here's another resolution. Quit smoking and drinking. Okay, this is tough. Okay? It's probably one of the hardest things anyone could do. For years, you know, I've tried to go, you know, I mean, I don't smoke, but a lot of people, they try to go cold turkey or just stick to the weekends, you know, drinking. I got to admit, I've tried to cut down, and I have cut down, to be honest with you. Now I don't drink before 2 p.m. You know, unless, you know, this is what most people are doing. You know, that's a good thing. You know, I think if everybody just doesn't drink before 2 p.m., that's a good resolution for COVID. Unless you're homeschooling your kids, then it's okay to drink before 2 p.m. As for cigarettes, switch to weed. That's a good resolution, right? You know, vape instead. Then you can vape with your kids. You know, we're not saying, this show is not endorsing vaping for kids, with kids. But you know what? If your kids are doing it anyway, keep it as a resolution. Actually, edibles are probably better. You know, and whatever. But that's gonna conflict with the first resolution of losing weight. So, you know, that's your decision. So here's another one. Spend less and save more. This year, I resolved to save money. In 2021, I want to see some of it, any of it. You know what I mean? Just I want to see some money in my account. I'm just uncomfortable with the fact that I've been ordering so much stuff online this past year. I'm become good friends with my Amazon delivery guy. We're on a first name basis. You know, I mean, seriously, you know, he's like a wingman for my next door neighbor and me. I might actually make him the best man at my wedding if I ever get married. It's not a bad idea. You know, you get what you pay for. Let's put it that way. If your wedding's in 2 days and you have Prime delivery, he's a solid choice. That's a funny joke, but nobody's laughing because we don't have an audience. I don't even know the candy van guy thing. Let's just keep going. Spend more time with the family. Spend more time with the family. Most people resolve to spend more time with their family, but at this point, some of us are resolving to actively find ways to spend less time with the family. You know, you're just trying not to kill each other at this point. You know, banish them from the home. I don't care if there's a pandemic going on. If you don't take the garbage out, you're out. No more plexiglass dividers. I'm buying concrete, and I'm building some more walls for my man cave. Good, Kevin. What do you think?
I love it. I think it should be digging a man cave, though.
I know. It's nuts. It's nuts. I'm here right now with my son. I bought him a PlayStation 5, and I'm drinking this water, bubbled water.
I thought that was
my son calls it La Crotch. He calls it La Crotch. How you doing, Kevin? In your resort.
I'm doing great. I thought that was a Twisted Tea that you pulled up when I saw the color of the can.
No, you know what's weird? You know, you get the flavors in these things, right? I thought this was lemon. This tastes like cake. I like cake, but I don't like drinking cake. This tastes like cake. But, you know, since it's COVID, I don't want to waste my money. I got to finish the whole case.
And to be honest with you, cake is sort of towards the middle of your juicer journey. So you need to maybe change your attitude on the whole thing.
I know. I am going to actually, you know, with that juicer, I'm going to have to make some more cake smoothies anyway. So anyway, listen, I'm really excited about the show. I've known this guy since he was 18 years, since we were both 18 years old, I think. John's developed pilots for various projects over the past few years with CBS, NBC, Fox, Warner Brothers, Jim Henson, Gary Sanchez, Conoco, History Channel, and the Disney Channel. He was a writer for the Ferguson Show for 6 years. He did a lot of bits on there as well. And he is doing a bunch of his own cartoons. They've been published in Mad Magazine and American Bystander. What was the last thing? I lost it. John Reynolds, bring him on. What's up, buddy?
Yeah. Hi, guys.
How you doing, man?
Hey man. Thanks for that intro. I thought it was great.
Well, the Sherman Peabody Show. Head writer of the Sherman Peabody Show. Damn it.
Mr. Peabody and Sherman, I think. Is that what it is? I can't remember.
Well, oh, was it?
Yeah.
Did I get it wrong? God damn
it. They were from, it was a reboot from the old Bullwinkle, Rocky and Bullwinkle, which right. I also had a hand in bringing back to no acclaim. But hey.
Hey, what? Not no acclaim. You got acclaim. You know, you did. And the shirt.
Did? Yeah.
Yes, you did. You did. Me.
Yeah.
No, but you got the you got. Didn't you guys win an Emmy for Sherman and Peabody?
We were nominated, but we didn't.
You were nominated.
Yeah.
That's still nominated, dude. Come on.
Oh yeah, no, it's as if you're winning. To just be nominated is especially with it's an ocean of content out there now. So oh just to get recognized at all in any capacity is I'm totally grateful for that.
Well, absolutely. You should be, man.
But fuck them anyway for not winning.
We started together in acting, you and me.
We did. Indeed. It was great to hear Brian talk about acting and comedic acting. You know, I was also in Arsenic and Old Lace in high school. I was the lead.
Really?
Yes. I was the Cary Grant role from the movie.
Nice.
The Mortimer, I think his name is, the character. But I love acting. In fact, I used to do a lot of commercials years ago. And then I did my first commercial in years for McDonald's like a month ago.
Really?
In a fucking COVID bubble outdoor set in New Jersey. Isn't that crazy? Auditioning on my laptop like this and, you know, having to push it back and stand against my wall. And it was fucking ridiculous. I've been doing a lot of auditions that way. It's crazy.
That is insane.
I love it. I don't ever want to go anywhere. I'm totally made for this shit. Too bad people are dying. Because other than that, this has been great.
You should love auditioning.
I love not having to go anywhere to audition.
Right. So we were 18 years old living on Clinton Avenue.
Holy shit. Mike Tyson Street, where he grew up.
Yes.
And you saw him.
He
came back when we were there. This is the 90s, right?
This was earlier than that. I was eight. Let's not talk about hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not talk about what year.
This is the early twos, right?
This is 2012, maybe. Or...
But Mike Tyson grew up on that same street that we were on, and he was tooling around there when we were there.
Yeah,
because we were interns at a regional theater called Capitol Repertory Company in Albany, upstate New York. Albany, the capital of New York,
right?
Where the government sits for New York.
He was hitting on Aileen.
One of the other interns. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He kept driving
God,
by.
God, I wonder what happened to her.
No idea. Maybe she'll watch the show and she'll get back in touch.
Yeah. Maybe she married Mike Tyson.
Right? So let's talk about God, man, you've done so much since you and I started out way back then. What you were in a sketch group, Bangers and Mash, was it?
Holy, yeah. That was before I got involved with UCB.
That was before UCB.
Yeah, because I went to San Francisco to get my master's in acting, because that's something that guarantees roles.
Yeah, that was a great school.
Yeah, it was an amazing school, but it was one of those things where I was spoiled, you know, where I got to learn all this amazing stuff and spend all my days and nights doing nothing but acting in plays. And then you go out in the real world and it's like, no. And if you do get a play, you can't afford to live on the salary they pay you.
It's true.
So I had to stop looking for theater work because it was just way too difficult. But
don't you miss theater though?
I do miss theater, but UCB scratched that itch for me. And doing sketch scratched that itch, because, but especially UCB, because doing improv getting to act and write on your feet was I mean, it is the theater, right? And then we would also script a lot of sketch shows and stuff. And I was in plays and stuff at UCB as well. So I got to do a lot of theater stuff. It was fantastic. But
you loved improv.
I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. I stopped doing it several years ago, but mostly just out of dumbness, life, well, stupidity.
That's okay, because we're gonna get you back into it tonight.
No, we're not.
Danny's Improv Theater.
All right. And in tonight's episode, John takes a ride with Danny on his way to audition for a part. And at the audition, John gets cast in the part. And go.
You just told us the whole scene, Kevin.
I know.
You're up in the improv.
You're on the ride home.
Have you ever been to an improv show, Kevin? You say, can I have a suggestion, a one-word suggestion? They don't say, can I have the scene from beginning, middle, and end?
We're driving back from an audition that we both were going for, and you got the role.
Okay, we're coming back from that. He just gave us the backstory. Okay, great.
I know. Believe me, I didn't know any of this either. So, Kevin, you're fired. Okay.
Hey, Dan, let me pay for this Uber, okay?
Oh, fuck you, man. No, don't even talk to me.
I didn't. Look, it's not about talent, Dan. It's all luck.
I got you this audition. This was supposed to be mine.
I know, but Dan, just because you got me the audition doesn't mean that you're going to get the role because you were nice to me.
But you don't even look like the character, John. You don't even look like him.
What, because I'm not black?
Yes.
That's why I don't look like him?
I look way more black than you.
Dan.
I do.
Dan, clearly they thought I was blacker than you. Okay? And like I said, it's luck. It's luck that they thought I was blacker than you, because I can't act any blacker than you.
I can't even believe you got it. I didn't even think I was going to get it because I'm not black.
I can't believe in this day and age with the diversity push that's going on right now in all sectors of the world that they're casting white guys in black roles now.
I know.
It must be that we finally reached equality.
You're going to get your ass kicked.
I am.
Someone's going to kick your ass.
I think I'm not happy about the news anymore that I got this role. I should have realized why there aren't any parts for whites in A Raisin in the Sun.
There is Carl Lindner. Carl Lindner.
Is that right? Okay.
Well, He's the guy who kicks him out. He's the white guy who kicks him out. Yeah, yeah. You got the lead. I can't believe this. You got the lead.
I got the lead in Raisin in the Sun. I barely know the play. Look at me.
Well, wow. You know what?
Well, I'm sorry, Dan. Well, how can I make it up to you, Dan?
Well, you can let me sleep with your girlfriend.
What?
Come on. You know she's been giving me the eye the last few weeks.
Danny, wait. That's a really tall order. Like, I could take you out for a nice meal or whatever. You want me to let you sleep with my girlfriend?
Just one night. You got the lead in
Danny,
this
Danny, are you being serious right now? Danny, we're friends. We've been friends since we were 18. And you're seriously asking me to sleep with my girlfriend?
All right, you can sleep with mine.
Okay, great. I'll do it.
All right, perfect.
Great. So I got a role as a black person. And I'm going to get to sleep with your girlfriend.
And I don't think you had to pay for the Uber either.
I got three. Wow. That didn't make me miss improv at all.
No, you just like you like it a lot better when I'm not involved.
Who made it Brazen in the Sun? You did.
I did, yeah. I don't even know the play. You knew all the character names and shit. Oh man.
I literally played Carl Lindner, the white guy who kicked him out. In college, yeah. Oh, it's so funny. But you've always inspired me, John. I mean, you've always been, you've always been so talented. You've always been so, like, I kind of came into my own, but when I was first starting, you were already experienced. You know, you had already done. Yes, that too. Oh, I know what I want to talk about. How I Met Your Mother. The scene that they kind of used based on you and your life.
Which I went on a podcast and talked about that, and I got fucking canceled on the podcast.
Did you really?
Yeah, this was like right when Me Too was breaking in the fall of 2017. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know that How I Met Your Mother episode? That was based on my life. And they were like,
yeah.
What? Yeah.
And they canceled it? Why?
So I felt like I was getting canceled. You know what I mean? If people knew me, then I would have been canceled.
It was hilarious. Okay, we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't.
All right, let's just put it this way. John is so funny. He can basically get away with anything.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I've never seen when you were single, we used to hang out and I was in awe. Of your wooing charm with women. I was in awe, absolutely in awe.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I was a fortunate person and that nobody.
Because, I mean, you're not as good looking as Kevin. No.
That's how I got the job, John.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have to tell me. I know how Danny works.
Let's just go back into your career.
Oh my God.
So how did you get the Ferguson show? How about that?
That was, so I had been doing a lot of packets for late night shows, at the time. And then I had a friend from UCB who had just started. He'd been on the show about 3 months as a writer. And so he said, they're looking. He told four or five of his friends of whom I was one. And I teach late night comedy writing from time to time. I love to teach. I always tell this because I get to tell stories. And this is one of the stories that I always tell. So my buddy said, you know, make sure your agent submits your packet for you to Ferguson. So I was with William Morris at the time and write the packet. And it was, these packets are super involved. It's insane. I had to write two monologues, come up with desk bits, write us one or two sketches. It was, you know, a lot of work. Anyway, I tell my agent, send it. So then my buddy calls me, who's on the show, and he goes, where is it? I go, my agent sent it. He goes, no, he didn't. The head writer doesn't have it. I said, I'll call him again. I called the agent three fucking times. He claimed he submitted it. And it finally took my buddy going, just send it to me. So my buddy printed it out and then gave it to the – and then I got it. And then that – William Morris got 10% of – a late night writing network salary for six fucking years. And he never even submitted the packet.
Wow. That's
so I always say fuck agents because they don't give a shit about you until you don't need them anyway.
Right. Right.
You know,
well, you know, it's funny. When I was living in New York, God, I must've been in early 20s. I submitted to Conan O'Brien and they called my agent. They said, we like his stuff, but we're not hiring a writer right now, but we definitely want you to send more stuff. And I got to admit, I had a couple people say they saw some of the things that I wrote on the show.
That's a big problem. I'm not saying that they didn't steal from you. And actually Conan has been, he was in the news 2 or 3 years ago because there was a lawsuit stuff being stolen from the internet for his show. That two of his writers, I think, I might be speaking out of turn here, but I think admitted that they were taking from this one guy's blog. But that's why they have you sign those boilerplates, because really it's more likely that that the writers are coming up with stuff similar to yours, but that
right, right.
not that they're stealing it. Because look at what Twitter has done. Twitter has turned the entire world into a 24-hour comedy writing room. And that's yeah. what you're competing against. I remember when Twitter first came out, Jimmy Kimmel had like a team of interns whose sole job was to comb Twitter to make sure they don't repeat jokes.
Really?
And they had to, he had to stop that because it's impossible. You right, can't track right. all that shit, and you're definitely not, you know, you're definitely going to get repeats. I mean, the Johnny Carson, the whole idea of late night was let's all gather around the hearth of television and have this funny guy make fun of the shit that we had to hear in the news today. And that's right. what's happening every minute on social media. You don't need late night shows. So isn't it ironic that when you don't need late night shows, there's about 32 of them on the air? There's no fucking reason for them.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, do you put your stuff... Because I find I write a lot of jokes on, you know, social media because it's made me a better writer because I see what people respond to. And I've been doing it for years, and I write one-liners that, you know, for years, and the response is great, and I enjoy it. And I just don't worry about being stolen from it anymore. I don't think
you can't worry about that. I tell all my students that the best thing they have is social media, and to just because social media gives you an incentive, you know, to do that.
Yeah.
That's why I do it with my cartoons. I don't get my rocks off as much writing jokes on that stuff, but I get it. I like to put my cartoons up there because I don't get paid for, unless I submit somewhere and it gets bought. I'm not regularly submitting cartoons because I mostly make my living off of writing and not anything else except for this one McDonald's thing that was just a total fluke.
Well, you're a great actor. You're a great actor too. So it's crazy to me. It's crazy to me that you're not working as a regular working actor, but I think it's because you mainly focused on writing though, but we have a clip of one of your cartoons. You mind if I show that right now?
Not at all. Go for it.
All right, let's show that.
Do I need to tee it up? Or?
It's time for Late Night Baby, starring Burt Reynolds. Tonight's guests, Aubrey Plaza. Now here's your host, the late night baby himself, the Turk.
Thank you.
Okay, Turk,
is this your kid?
Your jokes quick.
Yeah, he when he was four.
Thank you, Daddy. I mean, sidekick.
Let's go.
In Europe, experts have found the world's oldest cave paintings. They're over 40,000 years old. Here's the amazing part. One of the paintings is a portrait of Larry King. Got it?
Okay. Bedtime. No interviewing guests tonight. Bed. One guest, then bed.
Let me to my desk. Please welcome my guest from Parks and Rec, Ami Palaza.
It's good to be here, Turk.
So tell us, what are you working on now?
I have a movie that's called Safety Not Guaranteed. It's a love story with a sci-fi element, kind of, and I play the main character.
He has a act of blood. Look out, he comes the Spider-Man. What are you doing? Hey, I have a joke for you.
What is it? What are you laughing at? Is that your joke?
Yep.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
You dick.
I didn't ruin my soul.
That's awesome.
Oh, I haven't seen that in a long time. thank you.
It's so great. Funny. It's so funny. So where did you come up with this idea?
So that was right when I was leaving Ferguson after 6 years.
Yeah.
I was goofing around with Turk in the, we were at the supermarket. His mother went in to get stuff and we were in the car. And I was like, it's the late night baby, everybody. And then he just started, to riff. He came up with that the idea to sing Spider-Man while I was being interviewed by him in the car. And I was like, I got to do this. And then I have a buddy, Tyler Riggers, who's an animator and cartoonist. And he said he'd animate it for us. And he did a fucking amazing job.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. And that came super close to getting it, becoming its own show. I had meetings all over town for that one. But then, it didn't happen.
We had a question for you, I think just now from one of our viewers. Can you bring that up on the banner, there again? What was it? Let me see.
Is it in the chat? Is it how is writing for an award show different than late night?
Yes.
And it's from somebody I know.
Is it?
Yes. Can we say his name? He put his name out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Bill Coulter.
Hey, Billy. I know Bill too.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So go ahead.
So how's writing writing for an award show different than late night? It's actually not that different, Bill Coulter. You actually get to do news jokes on a lot of award shows. And in fact, speaking of Aubrey Plaza, since she was just in the cartoon, I know Aubrey from UCB. She hosted the Spirit Awards for IFC the last 2 years. And she hired me this past time to be the head writer. And I was working on sketches and the monologue and all sorts of stuff. And it's the same. This is what I tell my students too. It's, you're basically doing the same thing. It's just a bit more focused towards, you have other categories of news topics, which are whatever the awards are for. So at the Oscars, those categories are the best picture nominees, the famous people who are there. But it's really very similar. That's why so many late night hosts host these award shows as well.
Bill Victor Curian said that kid's funny. He's one of our sponsors. So.
Oh, awesome! Thank you.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. We have very, very small sponsors.
But at least you have sponsors.
Yes, yes, yes. So, so after the Ferguson show, where did you go? What did you do?
I did. I was freelanced a bit. I developed some pilots that went nowhere. This was one of them, the late night baby one, probably came the closest. Then I got hired at DreamWorks and I spent about three years there rebooting Mr. Peabody and Sherman and then rebooting Rocky and Bullwinkle for Netflix and Amazon respectively. And then I did some other work for them too that was uncredited on other stuff. And in fact, I'm working on something top secret for them right now, actually involving a cartoon character that everyone knows that I can't talk about. But but it's been fun, and they're a great company to work for. I was there when Katzenberg was still there, Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Okay. And,
right. Before, right when, in fact, when I left, I think he left a month before I did to start Quibi. So that worked out well.
All right, so where can people find you?
I send everyone to my webcomic, which is the title of which is A Fistful of Babies. And I have a website, afistfulofbabies.com. Fistful has one L. And I update it regularly on Instagram, @afistfulofbabies.
Okay, and make sure you get all that to our engineer and we'll put it on the video. We have a segment, if you want to hang out, we got a segment since we're talking about cartoons I'm never going to get his name right. I've known the guy for years. Anthony San Anselmo who has been a animator on South Park for 17 years. And he's coming on to do a segment for New Year's. Let's bring him on.
I love it.
Let's wait. We got to do the video.
What are your favorite New Year's movies?
All right. Welcome. Oh, we can't hear you. You're muted. There we go.
Not letting that last name go, buddy. How you doing?
It's so hard. It's like not. Two names.
You know what the worst is I get all the bills I pay get my last name wrong. All the junk mail, they get my last name right. I don't get it. Not into it. All right, I got some New Year's movies for everybody if you're interested.
All right, let's see.
Rocking my New Year's Evil shirt. So basically, there's a kind of a staple, okay? Most romantic film of all time is An Affair to Remember, New Year's film, okay? I'm going to segue right over to When Harry Met Sally, a lot of nods to Affair to Remember. Then you go
it's
to Sleepless.
Same movie.
Then you go to Sleepless in Seattle, which literally takes plot points from An Affair to Remember. So if you find yourself alone on New Year's Eve, this is a great trilogy to masturbate to.
Yeah, just don't do Meg Ryan's later movies.
No, you might need Viagra up. God bless. No disrespect, but to disrespect. Okay, so we've got some movies that Suzanne's gonna throw on. Susanna, what do you got? Here we go. I'm leaning for the image. Bam.
You gotta lean the other side. Other side.
God damn it! I never get it right. So Bloody New Year is literally a fucked up movie. A bunch of Brits go to an island. It's also known as Horror Hotel. And they stay at a hotel, and the hotel's trying to kill them. It starts off slow. It's real experimental. And the hotel starts throwing everything at them and literally the kitchen sink. And it actually starts getting really good. So if you're sipping on something or smoking on something or whatever you're doing, the movie actually gets enjoyable. It's from like, I think 87, and it's a pretty bad movie, but it's also charmingly good. So
87. So that's before mine and John's time.
That's right.
Precisely. Let me lean.
Next yeah. One. Back with leg warmers. I heard.
Yeah. I heard too.
Yeah.
The big hair I heard about.
Yeah. So this is an early movie by Roger Spottiswoode, the director. He went on to do Turner and Hooch and Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Nice.
Wait a minute. Yeah. He did Turner and Hooch?
Yeah, but he also went on to do one of the, I think, Tomorrow Never Dies with Pierce Brosnan.
Wow.
There's hope. This is a Curtis screamer.
Did he direct it?
He did. Yeah, he did. This is a Jamie Lee Curtis screamer. It's basically teens on a train. There's a serial killer. The end. That's it. Okay, short and sweet.
Amen.
What's the next one? Same kind of concept. Basically, this is like American Bandstand in a hotel. There's a murderer. The end. That's it.
Awesome. I love your in-depth analysis.
This is this is your analysis. Your synopses, Anthony, are like Kevin giving improv suggestions.
I didn't tell you how it ended.
That's true.
Have the end.
That's
and
true.
Let's be fair. He is limited by the plot of the movie.
No.
Yes.
We cannot ring in the New Year's without this classic. Now, what's interesting about this movie to me is it's actually a fantastically well-made, well-acted movie by John Landis. He directed, starring these famous cats. The only problem I have is the third act becomes a super SNL sketch. And it almost doesn't match the film. I like the entire movie, but once they get on the train and they're trying to do that switcheroo with the suitcase, it really feels like a total throwback to SNL, which is not a bad thing. It just feels almost out of place with how, I don't want to say highbrow the movie is or refined the original, like, or I guess the first and second act is. But regardless of my beef with it, it's a great New Year's Eve movie. It's a great movie year-round nonetheless. And that's on my New Year's picks.
All right, that's one of my favorites.
That's awesome, Anthony.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm actually writing that down because I need to see that again.
Yeah, me too.
This is an honorable mention. This is an anthology with four different directors. And as you can see down at the bottom, you'll see, you know, Robert Rodriguez and Tarantino went on to fame. But it's actually a pretty enjoyable flick. And Tim Roth really does hold it on his shoulders.
Fantastic actor.
Yeah, and he's not, you know, he's literally stepping into four different directors' visions and work, you know, patterns. So he had a lot to work with. It wasn't like an easy picture for him to just come in and out. But I think it was a forgotten film, but it's one to be, you know, kind of remembered.
Hey, John, do you remember why you decided you want to see this movie? I do.
Which one? Four Rooms?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Marissa Tomei and Madonna.
The Coven of Witches. Yeah.
They were so hot back then. Oh my God.
God, I don't even remember that. I remember because I saw it, but the only one I remember is the Tarantino one.
Yeah.
Such a funny payoff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Isn't it where Tarantino kind of bumped him up a little bit in the film world, didn't it?
Actually, it didn't.
No.
Really?
This was an unseen, probably considered a bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was considered a bomb.
Yeah.
But it was, wasn't it one of his first big movies?
No. Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs.
What was before that?
Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs.
Well, oh, that was before? Okay. Yeah. All right.
And Dawn might be in there, but Four Rooms, unfortunately.
Did you see the Grindhouse thing he did with Rodriguez?
Yes.
Three times in the theater. Yeah. I had a standee in my house. I loved it. I wanted a sequel. Nobody saw it.
Yeah, I got to see it again because his I hated, but I got to watch it again. But I loved Rodriguez's.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, it was just fun. The fake trailers were awesome. I'm waiting for Eli Roth to do a Thanksgiving Day feature film.
Yeah.
Because he made like a fake trailer. But it was just a fun
Machete
experience.
Machete came from those trailers, right?
It did. Yeah. And Rodriguez delivered. The first Machete was pretty good. The second one was silly. But at the end of the day, I hate that phrase, by the way. It reminds me of your enthusiasm. But it was a good experiment. And unfortunately, it just came out on Easter weekend. It wasn't marketed as properly as it should have been because nobody knew you were getting really two films in one.
Right.
They didn't get it. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was probably confusing to the average moviegoer for sure.
Not me. I was there. I was like,
no, I did enjoy it, even if I didn't enjoy Tarantino's half. But I love From Dusk Till Dawn, another one those two worked on together.
Oh, it's great.
I remember that got shit canned because the critics are like, it's two movies. It doesn't know if it's horror. It doesn't know if it's crime. And Tarantino loves who I love, Abbott and Costello. And one of the reasons I love Abbott and Costello is Meet Frankenstein, which is one of the best genre combos of all time, mm-hmm. horror and comedy.
Yeah.
And they both work. The horror works in that movie.
Yep.
And the comedy works. And I show that to my son too much. And Tarantino loves that. He loves Abbott and Costello, and he references that movie when he talks about From Dusk Till Dawn and other genre mashups as well. But I always thought that I love the mashup of the crime and the horror.
Absolutely. In fact, he wanted the marketing initially. And they actually listened to him, thankfully, not to the critics, you know. But basically, they wanted to sell it as a crime film, okay? Because they wanted the audience to be in the shoes of the Gecko Brothers.
Right, right.
Because the minute, if you're in the shoes of the Gecko Brothers, and you're, you know, in some titty bar in Mexico that happens to be vampires.
Yeah.
It's going to turn like that. You're going to be as like, what the fuck, as they are.
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't really a fan of that in marketing. So initially they did that and then they gave up the goods.
Yeah.
Like after the opening weekend, they gave up the goods. It worked against them, but I think it became, I don't want to say cult, but it found its audience for sure.
Now, how come no one ever gave the secret away to the Crying Game? But then they fucking blow it on Dust Till Dawn. Fuck you.
Right? Yeah, right?
Yeah, for
the
sure.
That's like the Sixth Sense. I was blown away because I didn't hear. I went early to see it. So I was blown away. So, yeah, you can't give away that ending. How do you do that? Anyway, let's continue. That is a topic for
discussion. I'm thinking of the Sixth Sense and how I watched it. And then I'm like, bullshit. He was having conversations with them. And then I went back. I'm like, oh, they started the scene with him just sitting there.
Yeah.
They covered their bases.
Yeah. I don't think I was writing movies at the time. So I was more easily fooled.
I think everybody was fooled on that one. Mostly.
Yeah.
So. But what's the next one? You got more?
Oh no, man, that's it.
That's it. Okay, great. Oh,
that's nice. It.
That was it's great. Like one night.
You beat off to the trilogy, and then you just kind of burn out the whole thing. That's it. That's all you need.
And try.
I gotta show you my horror comedy, buddy. You gotta read mine.
What you got? I gotta send it my way. I'm a reader.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's good. I read it.
John read it. Yeah. John read it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be done right. But I'm excited. I've got the back end money and the distribution for the level of money that we want to make the movie for. The distributor has pretty much consistently made the money back. So, and the scripts he's made the money back for have not been, the best movies, but they make this script is way better. So we're very hopeful about it. So, awesome. So I'll send you that. Anyway, guys, have a happy new year.
Likewise.
This is a great show. Hey John, you're always so insightful. I love to, when you jump in and you put all that stuff in there. It's a pleasure to listen to you speak about movies and stuff.
Oh, really, thanks, Danny. I love you, dude. And I'll do this show anytime. I'm so glad I was able to do it. It's good to see you.
Next time I'll be in the studio. There'll be less quirks and stuff, less mess ups. But overall, I think it was a good show.
Yeah.
I think it was a good show.
I was watching it.
We got to get Kevin's. We got to get the other half of Kevin's skull in the show at some point.
Oh, it's our good luck.
I was in their massive green room just drinking the entire time. So it's like, we want to pepper my segment. Just pepper it.
And it just got funnier and funnier as you were drinking.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Happy New Year. For those of you watching, we're going to have all the information where you can follow John and Brian. And the rest of us, guys, thank you so much for a great show. Susanna, come on in. This is our engineer, Susanna. We can't hear you.
Hello, gentlemen.
You know what's funny? Happy New Year. Every time I have my mic muted, I'm like, I'm gonna beat them before they tell me it's fucking muted. You're like beating me every time. So this green room has everything in it.
It does. Hey, before we go, as we're leaving, let's do the animal mind reading with the deer. We have this technology. I'm gonna do it because we only did it in a quick holiday thing. John, I don't know if you know, we have this technology. It's only with my show, where you can take a video with an animal and you can you put it into the technology and it reads the mind of the animal. Let's do that and then say goodnight. Let's do it.
Animal mind reading technology.
Are you crazy? You pull a gun on a deer from New York, I'm gonna hoof you to death. That's right. You bend over because you're taking it up the bum, buddy. Yeah, you don't mess with me. I'll jingle your balls. I will take care of you, mister. That's right. Yeah, you think you can get away? You think you're faster than a deer? Are you nuts? What are you, stupid? Why don't you... Did you fart? Did you just shit yourself? Were you? Of course you did. Because you're scared. Because you're a wuss. You're a coward. That's what you are. There we go.
There you go.
Have you alerted science?
We have not.
That was unbelievable. I didn't know deer could think or have accents when they thought.
Come on, it's a New York deer. What did you expect?
That's fucking amazing. Holy, you got to get a government grant to study animal thoughts some more.
That's of a That's a MacArthur grant.
Yeah, you're telling me. Genius grant for that genius.
I can't explain the technology. I just can't do it. It's very secretive.
Unbelievable.
All right, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy 2021, guys. Happy 2021. Bye, guys. Great meeting the rest of you. Thank you.